Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. It's such a joy to come into your homes and to reach out to you. I'm about to tell you the story about the woman who came to Jesus and wept at his feet. She was so sorrowful for her sins, and she received mercy and received salvation and received the love of God. And I pray that you'll have sorrow for the ways that you fail God and that you will receive the healing mercy of Christ. Let's go to the live preaching. Simon the Pharisee judged him as a carpenter, but we know who he is. He's the Son of God, the Son of the Almighty, and he's alive today to take away our sins and to forgive us. And that's why the woman was weeping at his feet, because she may have been a sinner, but she knew who he was. She could see what Simon couldn't. She may have been a prostitute, but she had better vision than this religious leader. And that's interesting. So really, one huge ingredient in my life was coming to know Jesus in a personal way. Not just as this stern statue. You know, I used to look at those statues of Jesus and it's like, I can't relate to that. No, he's welcoming and loving and forgiving and full of mercy. And many of you are wearing crosses on your neck right now. And we have that beautiful crucifix behind me. I'm a passionist, dedicated to the passion. Christianity is all about the cross, about forgiveness, and about the mercy of God. We cannot earn it. We don't deserve it. We can never merit it. But God gives it generously and freely. Wow, did this set me free? I have to tell you, I became a priest not because I was an altar boy or not because I'm trying to earn it, you know, go to heaven, you know, through all these good works and everything. I became a priest because I was forgiven in my life for my sins. And now, as the psalm says, what return can I make to the Lord? The cup of salvation I will raise. And that's exactly what I do at Mass. I raise the cup of salvation. In other words, what return can I make to the Lord? Thank you. I love you. I praise you. My whole life is dedicated to you because you have redeemed me. You know, we have a whole group of religious group in the Catholic Church called the Redemptorists, very similar to the Passionists. It's all about the redemption that Jesus gave us through his passion. And so really, you know, when you do good works, it's not to earn salvation, it's to give God thanks for salvation. You know, we're going to praise him forever in heaven. So folks, I invite you to come to Jesus. Let him hug you. He knows what you've done. You just got to admit it, open your heart. He'll bring healing. Those of you who are watching by TV, maybe some of you haven't been in years, and you're thinking, you know, I need to go. Yes, go. It's not that hard. He'll forgive you. He'll love you. You'll have a whole new life. You can forgive yourself. You can lay your burdens down, and wow, is it good. Don't let the devil make you stay away or be afraid. You need to come. This woman in the story, for example, she had never been to confession. And some of you haven't been in years. You know, every mission that I preach, I get 10, 20, 30 years. I think the record is 65 years. I remember somebody came to me and said, Father, I'm glad you said that because it's been like 40 years. And I said, well, that's fine. I'm glad you're here. Now's the time. And it's okay. You know, he'll forgive you. He'll love you. Nobody's going to condemn you. It's all about mercy, all about forgiveness. The crux of Christianity is the cross. The crux of Christianity is the cross. That's why I'm a passionist. I've received forgiveness and Jesus' love. So Jesus is beautiful. So now the woman does something to Jesus that the host would not do, you know, Simon, that he should have done, hospitality, Middle East. She lets her hair down, for one. By the way, commentators say that that's taboo in the Middle East. You don't let your hair down if you're a woman. That's like going topless. She does that right in front of everybody. And then she weeps at his feet, breaks open an alabaster jar full of perfume. Remember what I told you last night about brokenness? I said sometimes it's the brokenness in life, when you're broken by life, that the fragrance comes out, that the perfume comes out, that you experience change in new life. So don't be afraid of being broken. Now, commentators tell us that this perfume was worth a year's salary. We all know how she got this and what she did to get this. It's an expensive jar of perfume, but still she gave it lavishly. And then, of course, she wept at his feet, broke the perfume open, took the hair, wiped it with her hair. What a beautiful scene. This is so beautiful. I don't think there's any more beautiful scene in the gospel than this repentant woman giving lavishly, generously, profusely, wastefully herself to Jesus. Oh, gives me goosebumps as I preach it, because it's such a beautiful scene of a life being changed. And what I want to tell you tonight is, waste your life on Jesus. That's what she's doing. She's wasting. You know, remember in another scene, Judas says, why was this wasted? You know, shouldn't it be given to the poor? And Jesus said, leave her alone. Let her waste herself on me. And I found out that, you know what, when you waste yourself on Jesus, you become one with him even more. I was preaching a mission in Parolin, Texas. That's over by Hobby Airport. And a young girl came up to me. She's 23 years old, very good looking. And she said, Father, may I talk with you? And I said, yeah. She says, I think I have a call to religious life. And I looked at her, I said, well, beautiful. Let me tell you about the Passionists. We have Passionist nuns, but I have to tell you, her name was Shannon. I have to tell you, Shannon, the nuns are very cloistered. They're very austere. They never go out. They live community. They pray all the time. And they play for keeps. I mean, this is a very austere, radical community. She looked at me and she said, Father, that's what I'm after. And I smiled and I said, Shannon, that's beautiful. And you know what? It reminded me of me 25 years ago before I joined the Passionists. You know, I was a young guy, I don't know, 20, 22, 23 years old, about the same. And because I had encountered forgiveness and because I had encountered the beauty of Jesus, I was out for something radical. I mean, I wanted to give my life totally, wastefully, extravagantly to him. And by the way, before I forget, Shannon has joined the Passionists. She's now a novice with the nuns in Kentucky, and I'm so proud of her. You know, I wasn't the one that caused her vocation. God did that. I just kind of helped her along the way. And I'm praying for her that she's going to profess her vows and live the rest of her life praying for people, serving Jesus, wastefully, extravagantly. And you don't have to become a nun or a religious. You can do it as a married person or single, as I said last night. But the point is that you give it all to him, that you give your heart to him, that you are wasteful with Jesus. Sometimes people ask me, Father, you know, you've given up home and family and children and money. You've professed a vow of poverty. Don't you ever regret that? And I have to tell them, you know, I have to be honest with you, no, I don't. Because first of all, every heartbeat, every thought, every breath is a gift from God. Second of all, I've been forgiven, and I've got my past. And I've done, just read my books, you'll find out what it is. And I've been forgiven, and the mercy of God is so sweet and so wonderful, and God is so awesome. How can I not give everything to God and not be joyful living for Christ? And I remember, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts, and we were the original 13 colonies, and we studied about the Revolution, you know, and all that. Remember when they fought the British, and we finally got free, and we became a nation? Have you ever heard of a man named Nathan Hale? Nathan Hale was a young spy for the revolutionaries, 19 years old, you know, a patriot. And he got captured, I think it was in New York, by the British for being a spy for the Revolution, for being a patriot. And you know what? They hung him. When he was up on the gallows, this is Nathan Hale, this is what he said on the gallows. I studied this in history. As he was just about to die for his cause, the freedom, he said, my only regret is that I only have one life to give for my country. And I think that's beautiful, because when people ask me that, Father Cedric, don't you, you know, regret all that? Wait, my only regret is that I have one life to give for Christ. That's why I try to live with passion. I take the one life that I give, that I've been given, and I try to make the most of it. And I'm trying to push the boundaries, realize my potential, because He's so worthy. You know, I want to get down on my knees right now. God is so worthy of our complete generosity and wastefulness and profuseness in giving. That's what this woman is doing. It's a beautiful scene. I hope you can appreciate it. She lets her hair down, weeps at His feet, pours it all out on Him. Wow! Jesus is not going to stop that, because He sees what's going on. The religious leaders are all flustered. They're all talking and everything. That's why Jesus is so beautiful. He lets it happen. He's not going to be influenced by all that. So I'm inviting you tonight to be profuse. What do I mean? You take the deepest, darkest corner of your heart, an addiction, a habit, something you don't think you can change in, an anger, whatever it is, and you waste it on Him. And you watch what He'll do for you. The vulnerability here, the risk taking by this woman. She could have been thrown out. And you know, every time you go to confession, you're taking a risk, because it's a scary thing. I get people coming, you know, cold hands, you know, they're really afraid and coming in the confessional. It can be difficult. That's what keeps a lot of people away. I remember one woman, you know how you start off, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned"? Here's how she started. "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which are..." And I understood she was afraid. That's fine. And you know what? I'd smile, and I let her pray that way. And then, come on, let's get into it. That's fine. I'm just glad that you came. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, don't let fear, which is a demon spirit, keep you away from really being cleansed and experiencing the love. Now, I don't want to romanticize it and say, every time you go to confession, oh, you feel like you're going to float and all that. Most of the times you don't. But you know that you know that you know deep inside the blood of Jesus has washed you clean, and that you are forgiven and God's in love with you, and that you can accept yourself. But in addition to that, that you're changing. That's part of the reason why you go to confession, because you've admitted it, you're surrendering to God, then you go home and you face what's causing it. And God will help you to do that too. So we're after forgiveness and receiving mercy, but we're also after change. So I'm inviting you that are watching by TV to go to confession. Or even if you can't, if you're not Catholic, go to somebody that you can trust and reveal what's in you and talk about it. Because there's a saying in the 12-step program, you're only as sick as your secrets. So if you want to get better, reveal your secrets to somebody that you can trust. You're not alone. Other people are going through the same thing. They understand. I want you to get better. I want you to go forward. You have to admit your issues. And then you can go forward. Surrender to God. Then try to get to the roots of it. Something beautiful will happen in you. So people are afraid, you know, and I understand that. It can be tough. But as I said, you know, if Jesus will forgive that woman with her past and all that she's done, He will more than abundantly forgive you. Now, I mean the deepest, darkest stuff. And I mean, I've heard it all. I really have, from murder to abortion to everything else. I've heard it all. He'll forgive you. And you just need to be sorrowful, and you just need to come. Your lives can change. Conversions happen in the sacrament of reconciliation. It's very beautiful. So let me keep moving here, and I want to tell you that when it comes to forgiveness, the Bible has a couple verses that I love. Get this, it's in the Psalms. As far as the east is from the west, you know, the earth is 24,000 miles around, so let's say 12,000 miles. As far as the east is from the west, so far, God says, I have put your sins from me. Isn't that beautiful? He's not always saying, oh, you know, he's mad at you and mean because he sees all the... As far as the east is from the west, So far have I put your transgressions away from me, God says. And then I love what it says in another psalm. He says, I have cast your sins. Just imagine football player throwing it away. I have cast your sins into the depths of the sea. I love that. I studied because I read that, and I studied, okay, how deep is the sea? You know what the deepest part of the sea is? It's in the southern Pacific. It's called the Mariana Trench, and it's actually 7 miles deep. Can you imagine a place in the sea that's 7 miles deep? That's 50,000 feet, just about. And it's so deep that not even light can get down there, the light of the sun. It's completely dark, and the water pressure is so great, it'll kill any living thing down there. Apparently, I think they've discovered that there might be microbes living in the bottom there somewhere. They're not even sure. So, in other words, it's so deep, you can't see anything, nothing lives down there, nobody knows what's down there, but I know what's down there. Your sins and mine. Because God throws them into the depths of the sea. Oh, the God that we serve. He's great in creation, and he's great in love. You know, that's our God. So I invite you to, you know, don't hold back. Be profuse. Be generous. Really quickly, I got to tell you just a couple more things, and I'll draw this to a close. You've been so patient and so kind in listening to me. I want to tell you that, you know, he forgave the woman, and then he looked at the Pharisee. You know, Simon that didn't offer him any water for his feet or any oil for his hair or any kiss. And he confronted the Pharisee. Now, this is another part of Jesus that I saw in that movie that I really loved. It was his straightforwardness. Jesus didn't tell little white lies to please people. He wasn't addicted to approval. He didn't care really what people thought about him. He was a man of integrity. And I've so tried to become like that. It's so hard to do. But his honesty and his integrity are so admirable. And so he confronted Simon, and it wasn't so much out of anger as out of honesty. And he told Simon, he said, look, Simon, you didn't give me any water for my feet, or you didn't give me a kiss, you didn't give me anything for my hair, but this woman, she's blessed me since the moment I came in here. And that's one thing I loved about Jesus. He didn't pander to the powerful. He told it like it was. He confronted this Pharisee about his behavior. And I have to tell you, besides associating with the poor and the broken and the outcasts, that's what got Jesus into trouble, number one. And number two, he spoke up against the religious leaders, and that really got him into trouble. And eventually it got him crucified, and God worked through that to save us, through that injustice. And speaking about confronting people and not being codependent, I remember when I was a seminarian, I was stationed at a certain place. I told you a little bit last night about being rejected by some of the students. I was also rejected by one of our priests. He was my director at the time when I was a seminarian. I went through some, you know, it was a rocky road to get to where I am today. But anyway, I remember, there's no other way to put it, but he verbally abused me in public 3 times. I was never verbally abused in my life. My parents never treated me like that. I didn't know how to handle it at first. And the first time he did it, you know, then the second time, then the third time he did it, I'm thinking about it all the time, and is it going to happen again? And I'm codependent, thinking about him doing it and trying to please him, and nothing, no matter what I did, could please him. I finally had to confront him, and now I'm not telling you to go confront everybody in your life because it can get messy, and watch what happens here. But I am saying that, you know what, you stand up for yourself. And that's one of the things I loved about Jesus. He stood up for himself. He said, look, you were inhospitable. Look at this woman. You're condemning her? She's doing more to me than you ever would have done for me. I went to his office, and I confronted him about his behavior, about his verbal abuse. And you know what? He blew up. He was a very prideful man. Nobody stands up to him. And I did. I stood up to him. And he accused me of being codependent. And I told him, I'm not codependent because I'm confronting you. I was codependent when I was letting you walk all over me. And, you know, it was just going back. Long story short, they delayed my vows for 2 years because of his opinion. I was all set to have my vows done right at the end of that year. 2-year delay because of him. Well, you know, I went back to the seminary. They all loved me there, and everything was fine. Been ordained 19 years down the road. God is more than made up for what happened to me then. What I'm saying is, you know what? My vows may have been delayed for 2 years, but I respect the fact that I stood up for myself. I wasn't addicted to his approval. I wasn't trying just to please him and bend over and do everything he told me to do because it wasn't right, and I didn't accept his verbal abuse. What I'm simply saying here is maybe one of the areas that you need to confess is that you're such a people pleaser and you're so addicted to approval that you are untrue to yourself and you're telling lies. There are times in your life that you got to stand up for yourself, and that's one of the beautiful things that I love about Jesus. He was a person of integrity. Last night I talked about eagles. He was not a chicken, he was an eagle, and he knew who he was, and he stood his ground, and he didn't let people walk all over him. Cost him his life, but that's how we are redeemed. So that, you know, you can read more about codependency. There's a book called Codependent No More by Melody Beattie, especially alcoholics and their spouses, that you know, just the manipulation and the control, sometimes the abuse that goes on, and it can drive you crazy. That's where the serenity prayer comes from. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The final word here is, he says to the woman, peace, go in peace. And I love that because, you know, as I said last night, that's what everybody's searching for, peace. And you know what peace is? It's a harmony within. It's a serenity within. There is no more harder pillow to sleep on than a conscience that is not at peace. And that's what I'm inviting you to do tonight. Those of you watching by TV, you know, don't violate your conscience. Let it be your guide. Our Catholic teaching tells us that God dwells in the innermost recesses of our heart, in our conscience. And you can't violate your conscience. You've got to listen to your conscience because it's your conscience that will condemn you for eternity in hell if you don't listen to it. But it's your conscience that will say, well done, in heaven, if you do listen to it. Speaking of conscience, I heard about this man. He sent a letter to the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, and said, "Dear sirs," and there was a check for $500 in there. "Dear sirs, I've cheated on my income taxes. Enclosed is a check for $500 because I can't sleep. P.S. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest." Ah. Okay, folks, I'm inviting you to look at the areas of your life now. Judgments, addictions, holding back anything from God. I want you to be extravagant, be true to yourself. Are you a people pleaser? Have you been not following your conscience? Have you been bending to fear? I'm inviting you to admit your areas, surrender to God, and then when you go home, to do some homework, to look at what's causing these issues. What am I doing? Is it self-sabotage? Is it self-esteem? Father, help me. And you watch how God will work in your life. Some of you need to go to confession tonight. We'll offer you the mercy. Jesus will hug you. You go home forgiven. And then it's all about moving, little by little, step by step, change, going forward. And as we sang tonight, this time, I believe that my heart can change, and I pray it will. So what we're going to do is we're all going to pray the act of contrition. Those of you who are watching by TV, I have a form that I offer through my website, fathercedric.org. You can have the same form that these people have today. Examine your conscience, pray the act of contrition, then I pray that you'll go to confession. So what I'll invite us all to do is, whether you're going to go to confession or not, make a surrender. And together, let's pray that act of contrition. So let's all stand. You have it there on that purple sheet. And if you don't have it, you can just share with the person next to you. And I invite you to be extravagant and be generous. Give your heart to Jesus. Together, let us pray. Jesus, I have sinned. I am sorry. Have mercy in your kindness. I want to make a move and change. I believe in your healing love. I make the decision to follow you. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.